Andrew, good morning.
Hey, Tess, how's it going?
Yeah, well, how are you?
Yeah, really good, really good. Got something exciting.
Oh, ready? You've prepared me now.
Do you remember? No. Last week, I teased that I'm going to talk about the Stella Prize long list.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I did remember that and everything, just not when you asked me.
And just share some of what is out there to discover in amazing Australian writing. So, look, for the uninitiated, you know about the Stella Prize?
I do, yes.
Well, okay, I'm going to tell the listeners anyway. The Stella Prize is an annual award. It's for the best Australian women's writing from the previous year. I don't know. How do you put that in context? It's like the Grammys, the Arias, the TOTUS 100 for Australian women's writing. It's now in its seventh year. It was inaugurated after a group of women in the arts and publishing industry got together to discuss the preponderance of maleness in award lists as well as the media. So we're talking about the bulk of reviews being by men, about male authors, and awards lists featuring only a few, if any, female authors. In fact, I think the year they decided to do it, the Miles Franklin Award was like an all-male.
Oof.
All-male long list.
I love that the literary world has gone about doing something about this as well, because it's not just writing and books that this is an issue. You see it across festivals. You see it across pretty much any art form, movies, TV. Mm. You see it across so many mediums.
And so what I thought I would do is actually proactively address all of the challenges to this. So, you know, for the people out there, before you call in or write and talk about, you know, what things recognizing merit and the cream rising to the top, or, you know, some other suitably breakfastly but otherwise spurious metaphor. This situation, it is exactly what we've seen historically, but also what we're seeing of late over the, you know, the last year and a half, 2 years with the Me Too movement addressing structural imbalances across a range of industries. So when publication, recognition, discussion, any measure you care to name is so plainly skewed in one group's favour, and that group happens to exercise many, if not most, of the reins of power, I think we can clearly see there's some bias and privilege, and that's often going to be unconscious and deliberate. So there are undoubtedly people out there with malicious intentions, but then for all the, you know, supposedly woke guys who are going like, oh yeah, but hang on, you know, it's just recognising merit, it's an impartial system. It's going, no, when it's that skewed, something is happening on many, many levels. And so it's great. The Stella Prize, this is, you know, thank you for attending my TED Talk. That is why the Stella Prize is both brilliant and necessary.
I would attend your TED Talk.
So each year we have a long list of books that takes in the best of Australian women's writing. And while the winner's announcement in April is important, in the top 12 that I'm going to give you, you have this brilliant opportunity to take the temperature of sentiment and thought across the country. So, in alphabetical order,
Let's go. Based on surname,
here's the Stella Prize long list, also known as your book list, you know, book club list set for the rest of the year.
All right, hit me.
Starting off, we have Little Gods by Jenny Ackland. We have Man Out of Time by Stephanie Bishop. Blue Bottle by Belinda Castles. The Bridge by Enza Gandolfo. The Arsonist, A Mind on Fire by Chloe Hooper. Turning over my page. Live radio. The Death of Noah Glass by Gail Jones. Pink Mountain on Locust Island by Jamie Marina Lau. The Erratics by Vicky Laveau Harvey. Eggshell Skull by Brie Lee. Too Much Lip by Melissa Lukashenko. Axiomatic by Maria Tamarkin, and The World Was Whole by Fiona Wright. I haven't read any of this long list yet. That's actually one of the incredibly exciting things. There were a few titles that I thought were notable omissions, but then I think if you ask 10 different readers, they're probably going to tell you the same thing. The best bit is you can read those 12, you can read yours, and you can make up your own mind. This is not prescriptive. What it is, though, is an incredible sampling of the writing out there that's available. And on the list, we have a mix of form, style, genre. There's new authors, experienced authors. There's nonfiction, there's fiction. And really great, actually, there's big publishers, like publishers that are well-known. You'd go so far as to say almost household names. And then we have some really little publishers who are fairly new, Brow Books, which is the imprint of The Lifted Brow Literary Magazine. They've got two books in the long list, which I just thought was fantastic.
Good on them.
Yeah. So I'm quite excited by some of the nonfiction offerings. So Fiona Wright. Fiona Wright has come into 2SER quite a few times. She is a poet, a writer. She's very well known for her essay writing, and that's what we have in The World Was Whole. She's really regarded for her ability to take the personal and speak to us all. And The World Was Whole really, you know, ruminates on contemporary issues. So that's going to be a great read and probably something that's really going to connect with a lot of people's lived experience. Eggshell Skull by Bree Lee. This brings together women's stories of women's experiences of sexual assault as Lee attempts to listen in her role as a legal associate whilst coming to terms with her own experience. So you've got a mix of reportage and memoir and essay and that sort of thing in there. And then everyone I hear speaking about Axiomatic by Maria Tumarkin seems just absolutely flabbergasted. And they agree that what Tumarkin has done with the form, so it's kind of an essay type form, is breathtaking. The collection explores those things that we take as a given, these sort of axioms, and explores their veracity. Where do they come from? What do they mean to us? I think from everything I've heard, it sounds kind of like a lyrical version of some of the best podcasts. So I really can't wait to read it. I love work that is going to explore and experiment. So that's three. That's a small section.
Three of the 12.
I can't take up the rest of your breakfast show talking about all of these books. So if you want the full list, you can just go over. Well, you can go to thestellarprize.com. You can also go to the final draft page at 2SER.com. Go to that one. Because there, you're also going to find there's an interview with Louise Swin, who is the head of the judging panel at the Stellar Prize. So you can get some insights into the creation of the list and some inspiration to get out there and start reading.
See what they're after, see how they're judging.
Absolutely.
Picking their brains.
Yeah.
Oh, what a kick-ass list.
Yeah. Oh, just get out there. Just dive in. Grab something and just check it out.
There you go. If you take nothing else away from this morning, take away that. That's the bottom line of the entire show this morning.
12 books for the price of one. Normally, I'm only bringing you one.
I know. Oh, so lucky. Can I hazard a guess that the book we'll be looking at next week is off that list?
Yeah, the book is not off that list. We're going back to some new things. So I've got a collection of short stories from Deborah Adelaide. Deborah Adelaide was shortlisted a few years back on the Stellar Prize. I'm just trying to think what it was for. But let me tell you, her new collection, Zebra, is fantastic, featuring, I think I'm probably going to, there's a novella in the collection. I think I'll probably talk to you about the titular novella, Zebra, about just the most unique Prime Minister of Australia you're ever likely to meet.
Oh, you've got a lot of reading ahead of you. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Tess.